Praise the Lord. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. I believe that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and it was a rainy Thanksgiving. It's been a long time when we had so much rain coming down, and most of us just huddled, you know, down in our homes and, you know, with the cold and everything. Praise the Lord. But we have so many things to be grateful for. Amen. You know, the Lord has given us life. He has given us a family. He has given us a friends. He has given us a place to worship. He has given us freedom to do most of the things that otherwise many people in the world will not be able to do. So we are grateful to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people are thankful to the Lord for the things that He has done? Amen. The list is endless. If we would begin to thank God for the things that He has done for us, we would say it and say it and say it days on end. I would like to share this pulpit with my friend Joel. I'd like him to come and read the scripture that I want to share here today. I told him that I have a surprise for him. He didn't even know what surprise it was. Amen. I want him to come and read this scripture for us. And we'll be having little surprises here and there. Amen. So John chapter 11, you're going to read the first 10 verses. Amen.
Hold the microphone. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's a surprise. chapter 11, verses 1. Okay, this is John chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. And a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in the town of Bethany, where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Mary was the woman who later put perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary's brother was Lazarus, the man who was now sick. So Mary and Martha sent someone to tell Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God to bring glory to the Son of God." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go back to Judea." The followers said, "But teacher, some people there tried to stone you to death only a short time ago. Now you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the daylight, he will not stumble, because he can see by this world's light. But if anyone walks at night, he stumbles because there is no light to help him see." After Jesus said this, he added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." The followers said, "But Lord, if he is only asleep, he will be all right." Jesus meant that Lazarus was dead, but his followers thought he meant Lazarus was really sleeping. So then Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for you, for your sake, I was not there so that you may believe. But let's go to him now." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other followers, "Let us also go so that we can die with him." When Jesus arrived, he learned that Lazarus had already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many of the Jews had come there to comfort Martha and Mary about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you anything you ask." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise and live again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise and live again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will have life even if they die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Martha, do you believe this? Martha answered, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming to the world. After Martha said this, she went back and talked to her sister Mary alone. Martha said, "The teacher is here and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews were with Mary in the house, comforting her. When they saw her stand and leave quickly, they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to cry there. But Mary went to the place where Jesus was. When she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw Mary crying and the Jews who came with her also crying, he was upset and was deeply troubled. He asked, "Where did you bury him?" "Come and see, Lord," they said. Jesus cried. So the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "If Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man, why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying?" Again, feeling very upset, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with large stone covering the entrance. Jesus said, "Move the stone away." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "But Lord, if it has been 4 days since he died, there will be a bad smell." Sorry. Then Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they moved the stone away. They moved the stone away from the entrance. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said these things because of the people here around me. I want them to believe that you sent me." After Jesus said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with pieces of cloth and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take the cloth off him and let him go." Many of the people who had come to visit Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the council. They asked, "What should we do? This man is doing many miracles. If we let him continue doing these things, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away our temple and our nation."
Can you appreciate Brother Joel? That's perfect reading. I really appreciate that. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to take this text, Lord, and digest it, and we commit ourselves to your hands that you may speak to us, Lord, the way you love us to hear from your heart. And I thank you, Father, because of this message that you laid in my spirit for us. And let us, at the end of this service, come to a realization of what you intended for each one of us. Father, use my voice and my body and my person, Lord, as an instrument of honor to deliver your word to your people. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I know it is very familiar with you. You heard about Katrina, you know, Hurricane Katrina that devastated most of New Orleans. In fact, some of you can still remember how you saw on the, you know, visual representation of the devastation that Hurricane Katrina afflicted to the people of New Orleans. Now, there are people that were on the roofs. The whole city was flooded. And what caused the hurricane to happen was some levees that broke, and they tried to repair the levees at the very last minute, and those levees could not have been repaired. Some of you have still fresh memories of Hurricane Sandy, you know, that ripped off, you know, quite a large area of the New England area. You know, you still remember fresh memories of how people suffered. I mean, those images, especially when it is a national tragedy, those images are burnt into your brain and you still remember how it was and how devastating it was. I love the American spirit. People give their monies towards people who lost their lives and people who lost their homes. There were people, volunteers, electrical engineers that came from out of states, all converging to these areas where there was devastation in order to help. And for some of you can remember, not very far from us, in Texas. Texas is very prone to tornadoes. There was a tornado that hit in Moore, Oklahoma. And if you see the picture of before and after the ravaging of that tornado, it tells you how catastrophic sometimes natural phenomena are and how sometimes it can be destructive. I happened to be passing through the second, tornado with Pastor Chi. We were going to Kansas, and at that particular thing, the next day, winds had started to form around the city of Moore. And let me tell you, I was driving my little car, and the car would feel like the car is being flipped over. It was such a scary experience that we had, even almost seeking to look for a hotel so that we could spend the night because of the ravaging storm. But one thing I've come to realize is the resilience of the human spirit. Following all these destructions, for example, the devastation in Katrina, you would think that, Katrina would be done. The city of New Orleans would be done. But today, I happen to drive through the streets of New Orleans, and it's amazing how the city has been reconstructed. It's amazing how New Jersey has come up and the cities that surround and the states that surround New Jersey have come up. The resilience of the human spirit is so immense that sometimes it passes its mind-boggling what people are able to do even following a tragedy. Praise the Lord. And when I was seeking the Lord concerning what I was supposed to speak today, I heard it clearly. This message, the Lord putting a message in my heart that the Lord has not forgotten you. Praise the Lord. The Lord has not forgotten you. I'd like you to nudge your neighbor. Tell them the Lord has not forgotten you. Amen. There are certain things that we encounter in life, tragedies and experiences that we go through, that sometimes make us feel like God is trillions of miles away. But in reality, the Bible tells us that the Lord is consistently with us. Amen? I thank God that we cannot cage God in or His presence in a natural phenomenon. God cannot be constrained just under the space and time. For example, I'm usually interested with astrology, the study of planets and stars. It takes about 8 minutes for light to travel from the sun, which is 93 million miles away. And I was saying that, the Bible talks of the third heaven, that the heavens are in the third heaven. And I was thinking, if God would respond to us under the conditions of time and space, all of us would be maybe destroyed. But I thank God because there's a supernatural phenomenon that God operates under. That the moment you kneel down and talk to your Heavenly Father, He is able to hear that prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's have fun with the immenseness or the greatness of God. I was through perusing here and there, I found out that, just our galaxy alone has almost between 400 and 500 billion planets, including the stars. That's one galaxy alone. And the more technical telescopes that have come up can observe this, what they call the observable universe. There are about between 400 and 600 billion galaxies, and each one galaxy has between 400 and 500 billion planets. Now think about this. I don't think God maybe stays within the realms of those galaxies. I believe maybe God lives maybe higher above if there is an orbit or a space above the universe.
And I was thinking, you know, if our communication would be constrained by the natural phenomenon that God gave us, you know, of time and space. You know, it is, you know, this, you know, like as I'm speaking, time is going, is ticking, yeah? And then there's space between us and you. But God doesn't operate under those natural phenomena. You know, we can talk to God and He is able to respond. And not only that, God is able to simultaneously answer or hear the cry of everybody that has ever been created here. All the 9 billion, if all of them would kneel down and talk to God, God would understand clearly and concisely what each and every person is talking about. Praise the Lord. That talks of the bigness of our God, the greatness of our God. And then that puts you in a position whereby when it comes time to honor what He has done for us, when it comes time for us to honor Him through praise and worship, when you stop and think about how big and how great He is, you know, you just have to put everything aside and give Him the praise that is due Him. Praise the Lord. The fact of the matter is, and no matter what we encounter here on earth, no matter what tragedies that we encounter in life, God is consistently with us. And we may not really feel His presence. We may not even feel His love is real. We may not even feel like He is going with us. We may not feel, especially when we are going through tragedy, especially when we are going through trouble. You know, it feels like God is thousands and thousands of miles away. And it feels like when you offer out a cry to God, like, you know, it is falling into some deaf ears. But I thank God because God doesn't have to show up physically in order for us to know that He is listening and hearkening to the cry of His people. Amen. I want you to know that every moment you set your heart to pray, when every moment you set your heart to seek God, God is going to be available for you. Praise be to God. And the message the Lord has put in my spirit, as I told you, is that God has not forgotten you. God will never forget you. It doesn't matter the circumstances that surround you. It doesn't matter the things that are yet to come and you're yet to encounter. It doesn't even matter whether you are inside the tragedy itself. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise the Lord. The book of John chapter 11 is a very interesting story. And the chapters of the book of John that precede that chapter, there's a chapter that talks about the blind person that Jesus heals. It kind of like converges us to a concept whereby our lives or the deficiencies of our lives are meant to give God the glory. Amen? The things that you encounter every day is an opportunity for God to receive, is an opportunity for the Father to receive glory. Praise be to God. The things that we encounter in our lives, trouble that we encounter in our lives, deficiencies and dysfunctions that we encounter in our lives are opportunities for God to receive glory in your life. Praise the Lord. Many times I've encountered problems, you know, through my short life. And when I'm talking about short, I'm talking about, you know, 40 plus years. You know, I've encountered trouble. I've been in situations where I thought that, like, you know, I've cried out to God and I never had Him answer. And I felt like, you know, for momentarily, like God had left me. And you know what? The fact of the matter is God had not deserted me. Because when I continue to pray and to seek His love and to continue seek His presence over my life, I felt that presence of God coming over my life. And that gave me an assurance that God is with me. Praise the Lord. You know, about the story about blind Bartimaeus, I don't want to talk about blind Bartimaeus. I don't want to talk even about the person who was paralytic for 38 years. But that was a long, 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 long time for him. Almost his entire life, where he was paralyzed and he was in a pool whereby the water would be stirred and the angel would come and stop the water, and the first person would get into the pool, they would receive their healing. And he was so lame that every time the water would be stirred, you know, he missed the opportunity. Can you imagine this for not even 1 year, not even 2 years, not even 3 years, but for 38 long years, he looked forward for a day when he would be healed. And Jesus shows up and he tells him, "Do you want to be whole?" And just like a snap, just like this, he speaks to this paralytic person and they receive their sight. And at one time, the disciples asked, there was a lame person, and the disciples comes to Jesus, and they're asking Jesus, why is this person like this? Why is he paralyzed? Why is he lame? And Jesus said, some of this is not because that he had sinned. It's not because that he inherited sin from his forefathers. But some people are the way they are for the sake of giving God the glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you know that God receives God? God glorifies himself into the things that are referred as stupid, you know, by the standards of the world. He rather shows his strength in the things that don't make any sense. Praise the Lord. Throughout the Bible, you would meet of people who are incapable naturally to accomplish certain things. You know, they were caught up between a hard place and a hard rock, and you'd wonder when you read the stories, how would they ever come out? And then slowly and gradually you'd see God being involved in their lives, and you get them off the situations in which they were in. You know, a good example is how Jesus is led into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus himself was 100%, as you've already heard, he was 100% God and 100% man. But even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was pushed to almost his limits, and he cries and he sees all this pile of sins and guilt that are piled on his person. And he says, Father, if it be your will, let this cup be taken away from me. But not my will, but thine will be done. Praise the Lord. And momentarily, it looked like God the Father had deserted Jesus. You read the story in Matthew and you see between the hours of 3 hours, darkness filled out the whole earth, and it looked like Jesus was done and he was deserted, but it was only for a moment. Praise the Lord. But Jesus, I mean, God the Father came victoriously and vindicated, you know, sin through his son. And on the third day, Jesus triumphantly comes out of that grave, and he rises again. And through his ultimate sacrifice, all men have an opportunity to access God through the death of his son. Don't you think that is wonderful? Praise the Lord. And it happens to us every single day. Now, the story in the book of John chapter number 11 is a very important story, because not only does it talk about the grace that God has for his people, not only does it talk about the power that Christ is, when he states that he is the resurrection and he is the life, but it kind of catapults. He leads a procession whereby a man is resurrected, and out of that miracle, it catapults or initiates a process through which he would ultimately be put on the cross of Calvary. This is the last miracle that Jesus does performs before he goes to the cross of Calvary, and the story begins vividly by telling us about a story of love, that Jesus loved Lazarus. And I know you've heard these stories many, many times. It talks about how Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. But Jesus was separated by distance. He was like a day's travel. According to some scholars, they believe that Jesus was a day's travel away from where this particular tragedy happened. And Lazarus, the brother to Mary and Martha, is sick, and they are worried. You know, naturally, I'm thinking that they are taking care of her. I mean, they are taking care of him, trying to give him some soup, maybe trying to give him some medicine, and the sickness escalates to a point whereby he is almost going, and they are worried and they are crying, and you being in that position. I've been in a position whereby somebody has been sick and you're watching them go, and they're almost going and they're almost going, and finally they're gone, and tragedy immediately strikes. This is exactly what happened. And just before he died, I believe, they realized that the master, the healer, Jesus, was away. And they sent out somebody to go and call him so that he would come and pray for him and perform a miracle so that he would be healed. And so the messenger is sent out and goes out to Jesus, as we have read. And Jesus, after receiving the message, he realizes, see, the one thing that I love about Jesus and what he says about himself, he says that I don't do anything by myself. But what I do as I receive the instruction from the Father. Amen? Jesus was in the business of accomplishing his Father's will. Whatever Jesus was said to do here on planet Earth was as a result of a communication that he received from the Father. And he says that the things that you see me do, I don't do them by my own, but I do as I hear or as I see my Father telling me to do them. Praise the Lord. So even as he is receiving this message, Jesus consults the Father as he usually did. And the Father intended to receive glory out of this story. And he says, you know what, I'm going to stay 2 days here. And he tells the messengers, you know what, this sickness is not unto death. And now where Lazarus and Mary's home and mother's home was, Jesus had already an opposition there. People didn't like him because of the miracles that he was performing. Now, I want you to know that Bethany was on the suburbs of the city of Jerusalem. And they had gone there just previously. Actually, before they went to where they were, they had actually been chased out because people wanted to stone Jesus. And so he communicates with his disciples and he tells them, hey, you know what? We gotta go. We gotta go here shortly to so that we can wake Lazarus up. Now, there's something that came to me when I read. You know, many times when we read about the disciples of Jesus Christ, we think like they are, articulate men who are men that are vigorous and they have been trained and they can tackle anything. But the story or what I see. The picture that I see from the lives of the disciples, particularly in this time when Jesus tells them we have to go to Bethany so that we can wake Lazarus up, is one of disorientation. They were worried about what would happen to them because previously it was still fresh in their minds what had happened to Jesus. They had wanted to stone him, you know, near the city of Jerusalem. And so they are saying, no, Master, you cannot go there. You cannot, how can you even dare go out there when you exactly know what happened to us? You know, and I see people who are disoriented. And you know what? As I was reading this story, I paused for a moment and I say that God doesn't call smart people. God doesn't call special people. Are you there? And sometimes you feel like you don't match up to what God, you know, to what God's call upon your life is, you know, when you think about God, what God has called you to do, and when you measure up to the assignment, you feel like you don't match up. I want to tell you that you're not alone. God doesn't call smart people. Amen? God doesn't even necessarily have to call educated people. In fact, most of the disciples, some of them were businessmen. They were fishermen, you know? You know, some of the guys were, you know, except for Dr. Luke, And actually, he never was in the enrollment of the 12 disciples. He was the only guy that we read from the Bible that was a doctor. Praise the Lord. But these other guys were just, you know, regular guys. And so when I look at them, I see people, you know, who are just like me. I'm able to identify with them. I'm able to identify with them because sometimes I miss the mark. Because sometimes I feel like I'm distraught. Sometimes I feel like I don't measure up or match up to the call of ministry upon my life. Amen? And that encouraged me. Jesus Christ, he had so much grace upon his disciples. He never gave up on them. Amen? Even his disciples, he never forgot them. In spite of their weaknesses, praise the Lord. In spite of their disorientation, he never gave up on them. Praise be to God. You better say amen to me. He never gave up on them. Praise the Lord. And so they are worried, and Jesus is telling them, isn't there 12 hours in a day where there's natural light? And he tells them that he who walks in the day does not stumble. Praise the Lord. But he who walks in the night stumbles because the natural light doesn't offer him guidance. And this is exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples. That as long as there's danger out there, there's danger out there. I'm aware that there's danger. They almost stoned us just a few days ago. But I want you to know that you have the light of the world. Praise the Lord. And as long as you're walking with the light of the world, you should not worry. Amen? Because this story is going to end up for the good. It is going to encourage somebody. It is going to bring glory to God somehow. Praise be to God. And he is encouraging them to tell them, no matter how the danger is going to be, I want you to know that I'm with you. And I'm the light of the world. And in spite of the things that we are going to encounter, I am going to be there with you. Praise the Lord. And I love, many times if you read chapter, verse number 16, you see what Thomas, the Didymus, you know, it's called Thomas, I think it's the doubting Thomas. Sometimes, you know, we beat up on Thomas. But you know what? Thomas came out shining here. He says, it is okay, let us go with him and die. Do you know what he was in mind? In fact, these disciples didn't even have a clue of what Jesus was talking about. As a matter of fact, I think what the disciples, because he told them, you know what, Lazarus is asleep and so we are going to wake him up. And you know what they are telling Jesus? This is what they are telling Jesus. Oh, Jesus. It's like it's a no-brainer. If he sleeps, he's going to get well. In fact, it's like Jesus needed to hear that or just to be canceled. It's like the thought that Jesus didn't know that once somebody sleeps within a 4 days, they're going to wake up, maybe take a soup or maybe, you know, get some medicine and they're going to get up. But they thought that Lazarus was naturally asleep and that he was feeling better. In fact, they thought that Jesus had already sent a word and that Lazarus was already healed. Praise the Lord. He says, oh, don't worry about it. We don't even have to go there. If he's asleep, he's going to wake up. But the mind of the disciples, they had what they experienced. They were reliving the experience that they had experienced just a few days ago. And Thomas comes in verse number 16. In fact, I laughed when I read this. And it says, oh, you know what, guys? Let us just go and die with him. In fact, though, you know what he was saying? I know we are going to be stoned anyway. Let us go ahead and die with you, though, our master. You know? And so they started going. And this was after the fact that Jesus had already given them an encouragement that, you know, as long there are 12 hours in a day, and as long as you walk with the light of the world, you're not going to get stumbled. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so it is estimated that depending on where Jesus was at that particular moment, they think that if he was in the southern side of Bethany, it would have taken maybe one day's journey to go all the way to Bethany. They were to Bethany. It would take approximately 1 day. So the scholars think that maybe it took 1 day, you know, for the messengers, you know, to come to Jesus. And so when Jesus heard about this, he says, you know what? I'm going to stick out here about 2 days and I'm just going to go wake up Lazarus. So it took another day. So by the time Jesus gets to the scene, I mean, the man had already died. You know, he was dead like 4 days. So it's just estimated like maybe probably as soon as the messengers left, maybe Lazarus, you know, just died. Now, traditionally, according to the Jews, they don't do like we normally do culturally. When they mourn the dead, they mourn for 3 days, you know. And the third day is when they all mount up to the sepulchre or the grave. Because they have this imagination that the soul of the person might come and see whether the body is still in good formation and the soul might enter the body. But after the third day, if the person doesn't come to life, you know, that is when they intensify and they think that the dead is still among them. So Jesus had to go on the fourth day when it was completely out of place and they had completely knew that Lazarus was dead. Amen? And the first person that he meets just outside the village is Martha. And it is interesting how Martha approaches Jesus and he tells Jesus, Master, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Praise the Lord. And you know, when I read about Martha, I looked into my life and I said, how many times I have prayed and sometimes, you know, just within my heart, I told God, why did you let this happen to me? I prayed. I even called for a prayer and fasting to my friends and to my parents. And we prayed about this thing, but yet it did not succeed, you know. There's sometimes, brothers and sisters, when love seems like it's not love, but it's still love. Amen. There's sometimes when you feel like God is away, but he is still there with you. No matter how the story might end up, God has a good plan concerning us, and he will never forget us. Praise the Lord. And what seemed like not love to Mary and to Martha, by their expression to the master, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How many times do we also express ourselves like that and cry out and tell Jesus, "Jesus, I prayed, I fasted, but you denied me a visa. Lord, I have prayed for this marriage, but things have disintegrated. I prayed for my children, but it looks like they're going the wayward way. I prayed even for my career, but they're still threatening me. They're still threatening to fire me. I prayed for my loved ones to come from Africa." Let me tell you, I've really prayed many, many years, at least to see my brothers join me here in the United States. I've done everything. And many times I've asked the Lord, "Why did you close this door, at least for me to have close relatives coming here and being with me?" But you know what? If God wants to do it, He will do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That does not put me in a position to feel like the Lord has forgotten me. The Lord is always with me. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. Some time back, I had some friends of mine who called me, and we were doing something, and each one of us was given some responsibilities to do, and I would say this, sometimes I tell my stories and I feel like sometimes I'm so open to us, but I felt, you know, the responsibilities that I was given didn't match up, or, you know, didn't live up to where I was supposed to do. But I thank God, because it's good to have genuine friends. Somebody say genuine friends. These genuine friends came and told me, "It looks like, Tony, you've dropped the ball, but you know what? We are going to get from here, and we are going to move on, and we are not going to blame on each other. We are going to look on how we can improve our situation." Praise the Lord. It is good to have friends. It is good to have even friends who are friends in need and friends indeed. They encouraged me. Praise the Lord. They made me feel like I'm not forgotten. They made me feel like I was worthy. And how many times, you know, I was thinking about this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Think about it. And you've heard how it has been twisted by many preachers about this woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. They dragged him to Jesus and they told him, "Now, this one, we have found her right in the act." You know, and I was just thinking, and I know you've heard this, you know, that whatever act that she had committed could not be done by just a single person, you know. But she was the only one who was dragged to the Lord. And say, "What do you say about this lady?" And I love what Jesus said. "He who has not done one. He who has not sinned, let them be the first one," because they came with gomog, with stones. There are people who carry stones ready to sneer you. You know? They carry stones. And he said, "He who has never sinned, let him be the first one to cast a stone." Look at the how spectacular the grace of the Lord is displayed, even in this story. That when he says to these people, "Let him who has not sinned be the first one to cast the stone to this person," they all put their stones out, because everybody said, "You know what? Probably yesterday I was with one. It's only that I was not caught. Probably the other week I was caught with somebody. I know what I did with somebody's husband. But you know what? Let me just drop. I was not caught." And one by one, they put their stones together. And the Bible says that Jesus was writing something on the wall, and he looked up. And when he looked up, there was no one. And he says, "Lady, even I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." That is a spectacular display of God's grace. That God does not forget us, praise the Lord. No matter what we encounter, no matter what tragedy we have gone through, God does not forget us, praise the Lord. I was listening, I was thinking about the story of Jonah. You know how what Jonah did? The Lord wakes up, tells Jonah, "I need you to go to Nineveh, because 40 days and it will be destroyed. I need you to go and send the message of repentance to that city." And you know what? Jonah said, Mimi, I am not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to be the voice that tells the people to do what? To repent. And so he opted to go to Tarshish. He boarded a ship. And he goes there, and you know what happened there? The ship began to be tossed from left and right, and they wondered what was happening, what was wrong. And finally, the guy Jonah went, the Bible says that he went on the bottom of the ship, and he lied there, and he was asleep. Actually, the Bible says that he was in deep sleep. And these other guys were throwing things out of the boat, and they wondered, what have we done to the gods? They never believed in the God Almighty. And finally, the Bible says, if you read in the book of Jonah, they cast out a lot. Amen? And finally, the Lord fell on Jonah. They told us, you have to tell us what you've done to your God. You know? And Jonah said, he didn't hide it. He says, you know what? I am the one. I am the cause of this tragedy. Please, throw me overboard. And you know, you'll have the sea will come. And the guys could not do that because they feared the repercussions of their gods. They didn't want to kill Jonah. But finally, they tried. The Bible says that they tried to navigate the ship towards the shore so that so that Jonah would alight. But the more they tried to do it, the more the sea became tumultuous. And so finally, they thought that they were going to capsize. And so they threw Jonah overboard. Look at God's spectacular grace. The sea went calm, but Jonah never died. He had already prepared a fish, a whale, and it came and swallowed him. Can you imagine? The Bible says that, and Jonah prayed inside the fish. You know, I was thinking about this and what goes on within a stomach. There's acid, there's all these things. But Jonah still, in the intensity of the heat inside the womb of a whale or the stomach of a whale, he prayed out to God and he repented. And finally, God never forgot Jonah. He conducted and he instructed the fish to go and spit him up in Nineveh. Amen? Is that not what he did? Is that what he did? Huh? God never forgot Jonah. God is a merciful God. God never forgets us in spite of the things that we are going through. Amen? Things may have gone astray somehow in your life. But you know what? God is a God of second chances. Amen? If only we can surrender our hearts and tell God, here I am. I am ready, Father. Have mercy on me. Lord, take over my life. I am not quitting. Praise the Lord. God is always there with us. Praise the Lord. And I'm almost concluding. And so Jesus comes to Martha and comes to Mary and they're complaining, but they still love him. They still have hope in him. They still know that he is the hope and the resurrection. And how many of you know that good things happen to bad people? Bad things happen to good people. Jesus says, and he stipulates this to Martha and Mary. He tells them, I am the resurrection and the life. If anybody who lives, and even though he may die, he will live again. Amen? So you could be doing everything that you're doing right. You could seeing the Lord, you could be having your belief, your faith right in order, but tragedy can suddenly strike. But the Bible says, even though tragedy may strike, that God will cause that which is dead to live again, that he may receive the glory. Amen. Things don't just happen. The things that happen in our lives, the struggles that we encounter on a single day, are opportunities when God looks at them and says, oh, wow, behold, that is an opportunity for me to receive the glory. Amen? Oh, when you are sick and you're almost gone and you're hospitalized and we are praying for you, that is a chance when God looks at it, oh, that is an opportunity for me to receive his glory. Amen? Anything that we go through is an opportunity for him to receive the glory. I remember many 2 years ago when we wanted to purchase a home, and some of you can identify, the process of buying a house is very rigorous nowadays, especially after the economic recession that hit the United States. You know? And we would write forms and we would fill out forms and send out forms and they would be rejected, they would want this, until finally I say, Potele Mbali, I'm not even interested with this house. But you know what?
somehow miraculously, as we were pursuing, you know, the purchase of a home, God connected us with people. It's amazing. I mean, if you'd look down through the process of what we encountered and you'd look at what was happening, you'd just see the glory of God. Amen? God wants us to go through stuff in our life. And even though we might go through fire, and we might go through tragedy, and we might go even through difficult situations, that when we come through the other side and you look back, you'll definitely say, why not for God? Praise the Lord. And so Jesus comes into the picture, and Mary and Martha is grieving, and everybody there is just, you know, they're crying and they're mourning. And finally, Jesus was so moved by their tragedy, it moved his heart. And the Bible says that he was also in tears. And finally he goes and he tells people, remove this door from the grave so that I can perform this miracle. And Martha tells Jesus, this thing, why are you doing that? The man is already stinking. Amen? In other words, what Martha tells Jesus, he is telling him, why are you doing this? There's no hope. The guy, there's going to be a false stench. Have you ever been in that position before? Whereby maybe it was your business or it was a relationship that you had and everything looks like there was no hope. I've talked to people and you know, who are going through some stuff, and it's like they have this resignation, like, you know what? No matter how you do, Pastor, this thing is done. It is not done until God says it's done. And I'm here to prophesy to you, for those who have waited for long for your loved ones to come over here, for those of us who have waited for long for your papers to be rectified, for those of us who have been struggling in relationships, it is not done until God says it's done. Amen? Your situation might be oozing a faulty smell. When people think about it, they say, oh, that one, it is already done. They've even organized a funeral service. They've even put them in a sepulcher. But when God shows up, it makes all the difference, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what man says. God can unsay what man has said. Praise the Lord. I was a witness of two people here in Dallas, women who have never given birth. And I was there when they were being prophesied. They came to a meeting where I went. You know, Evangelist Wairimu came and prayed for these women. And I thought, okay, they were prayed. This is the first year. The second year has gone. The third year has gone. And I was wondering, the woman of God prophesied and it said that the Lord has opened up your womb. Let me tell you, as I am talking to you right now, those two women not only gave birth, but they gave birth to twins, each one of them. Can you imagine that? As long as the word of God has held, and you hold on it, and you hold, it doesn't matter what man says. Man can say that this one, oh, it is already done. But when God shows up on the scene, he makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. Martha tells Jesus that, you know what, I cannot remove because we are going to be embarrassed, Lord. There's this stenchy, foul smell that is coming out of the sepulchre. But Jesus said, didn't I tell you that I'm the resurrection and the life? What is the story of your life? It could be maybe that husband has emotionally separated from you. It could be your wife has been sending signals that is no longer interested with you. It could be maybe they even thought of giving you a pink slip at your place of work. It could be a son or a daughter who is wayward and things are happening that you don't even want to share with anybody. I am here to tell you, remove the opening of the grave because Jesus is just about to perform a miracle in your life. It is not done until the Lord is done. So Jesus calls out with a loud voice and Lazarus comes forth. And he is wrapped up. And he sends out instruction. It tells him, unwrap him and let him go. Amen? Jesus never forgot Lazarus.
Jesus never forgot Mary and Martha, if Jesus never forgot them and even tarried for 2 days where love seemed not to be love, yet it was love, I believe that your story can also change. Your story can also change. The story of our church can change. The story of your family can change. The story of your children can change. The story of your relationship can change. The story of whatever you're going through can change. It can change. Because if it changed for the paralytic for 38 years, I am here to express to you that as long as Jesus is on the scene, he is the light of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us love one another. Let us take care of each other. Let us encourage one another to good works. Let us motivate each other to good works, telling each other that, you know what, in spite of what you have done, I will stand with you, because when Jesus is going to be on the scene, everything is going to change. Praise the Lord. Stand up on your feet in Jesus' name. As long as Jesus is on the scene, what is it that you're going through, brother? What is it that you're going through, my sister? It's been so hard. You've tossed back and forth in your bed. By the way, the Bible says that the Lord sees the tossing back and forth in your bed, and he remembers the tears that flow out of your face in the book of Psalm. Lift up your right hand right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we openly confess to you, O God, that we are not perfect people. But God, you've realigned us to your perfect will. Lord, we surrender totally our lives unto you. You're forming and shaping us into your disciples, teaching us the ways of the Lord. And I pray for every family in this church. I pray for every child, every young person, every woman, every man, that God, we shall be sensitive to the words that come out of the scriptures regarding our lives. Father, your disciples were never perfect men. Even the people that you raised up, Lord, even to send out the gospel, were not perfect men. We know of Peter who denied you 3 times. Lord, we know the disciples who ran after you were captured and they all deserted you. But you still call them your disciples. Father, I pray that even in simple hearts and our simple way of life, that you have accepted us into the beloved. Therefore, Lord, I pray that you shall lead and guide each one of us to be sons and daughters of the kingdom. The Bible tells us that there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I thank you because no one in here is condemned as long as they know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Help us, Father God, even to cultivate the love for one another, the care for one another, and to genuinely love even as you love this earth. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You might be there, you need a prayer, and you need for us to agree with you. You need something from the Lord. You need the Lord to address a certain issue of your life. Just lift up your hand. You know somebody who is sick. You might be sick yourself in your body. Just lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. Or you've never given up your life to Jesus. Just lift up your hand and we're going to pray with you. Father, you see those hands. Clearly know each and every one of them. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 verse 13 that everything lays bare before you. Therefore, Father, you are able to identify what solution they need in the trouble that they're going through. It may be a healing that they need. It might be a financial breakthrough that they need. Lord, I pray that you may stretch forth your hand and touch them in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that they're going through, let it bring glory to you, O Father. Therefore, visit them, and may you send a package their way that in return they will give you glory and honor. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May God bless you.